Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank studio, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco in for Boomer this morning. It's Jerry and Geo on this Tuesday morning. The Yankees back on track. It was a Lance Lynn night in Chicago as the Yankees ride his very large back. My type of guy, a little portly, getting the job done. And the offense shows up as well with some runners in scoring position offense, which we have not seen from the New York Yankees recently. So after a horrendous four-game sweep in Boston, this was about the only thing that was acceptable in Chicago. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
What is up, Greg? Yeah, pretty good last night. It was one of those nights you could kind of take off, watch it, aside from Polka getting the infield single and the White Sox mounting a little bit of a challenge early. Not much. I mean, they're not a good team. They're a bad baseball team. You look at the batting averages up and down when they post in the beginning. It's like, these guys stink. And you see why they're 30 games under 500. That said, the Yankees took care of business, which is why people like Al should have made the bet last night. Let's take the Yankees, win the game. Lance Lynn, I like the story about the Yankees sending him home, or rather to Chicago early. Get your rest. He's ready to go. And how about the fact he gave you some length? It wasn't five innings. It was, you know, he goes into the eighth inning. It was a relatively easy game, so much so that Matt Davidson pitches for the White Sox. He strikes out Stanton.
Yes, I know. And he gets Gleyber Torres to pop out. I mean, that, I guess it's an unbelievable thing when you see a guy like that perform in that manner. But at the same time, I guess, you know, we shouldn't be surprised because these guys are so damn good. Like, even the worst players in Major League Baseball, you realize how good you have to be to get there. So when someone like that is a DH, a first baseman, when he could pitch like that, I guess we shouldn't be so unbelievably shocked. But that curveball he threw to Stanton was, I mean, that was a 12-6 curveball
like
from a guy.
58-footer.
I know.
That he bit on. It didn't matter. But it just goes to show the Yankees took care of business. They won this game going away. They win by 7 runs. You tack on a couple of late home runs. Neil Walker continues to hit the baseball. Torres a good night after a rough weekend. And so here we go. They pick up a half game. Red Sox off, still years back, but won a game they had to win.
Yeah, and I don't like the argument when the Yankees do take care of business against teams like this. Well, it's just the White Sox, or, well, they didn't beat the Red Sox, so stuff like this doesn't matter. No, they have to beat these teams, and they have not been. If you look, other than the four-game sweep in Boston, if you look at the biggest difference between the Yankees and Red Sox in 2018, it's mainly been that the Red Sox do not slip up against these bad teams, and the Yankees have had a couple of moments where, you know, they lose a few games to the Rays, they lose a few games to the Orioles, and that's really what the separation has been. So, I mean, I know it's not a all is well in Yankee land because Lance Lynn did this to the Chicago White Sox, but I mean, you have to be happy because anything less you'd be just completely annoyed. If this continued and this was a sixth loss in a row and you went to Chicago and things were really falling out of control, then we'd have a problem. So this was just, this was the perfect medicine for this team right now. And I think it was a really good thing that you got it from a guy in Lance Lynn who, I mean, it's funny because when a guy comes over from another organization and gives you a performance like that, you start to think, you get so far ahead of yourself. You know, oh man, what a big piece this guy could be down the stretch. What a big piece he might be in the postseason. This was one really, really good start, but it gets the mind going a little bit that he could be a factor for this team if he continues to pitch like that.
Well, he's also got a track record, and he's not 38 years old, so you know there's a lot of life left on the arm, of course. And he'd also rested the bullpen. You know, you had a night on Sunday where Aroldis Chapman had to throw almost 40 pitches. They blow the save. You know, you go 10 innings. You know, this was a night Chapman needed off. No need to throw him in there. You have a big lead. So there were a lot of good things from last night, and I agree with everything you just said about, well, you can't say it's just the White Sox. That's right, because when we talk about them losing to the Orioles, it goes the other way. You can't lose to teams like that. When they do, it becomes Panic City, and a sixth straight loss would have been not catastrophic, I'm not going to say that, but we would have been coming in here like this morning, what is happening?
Right, of course. I mean, it's one thing to have everything unravel in Boston against a team that's putting together the best season in franchise history. It's another thing to come off of that series and stumble in Chicago, but they didn't. It was a great thing to see Gleyber Torres look like the Gleyber Torres we were used to offensively prior to him going on the DL. Of course, it was something I was screaming about yesterday, and then all of a sudden, he has a really, really good night with a home run and also another RBI. So that was a really good sight to see, because with Judge out, that's what you're going to need. And that's what they had early on in the season, was contributions up and down the lineup. Didn't matter. A guy could be hitting under 200. A guy could be in an 0 for 15 slump, but someone else would pick him up. So they got to get back to that.
You know, if you look at the Yankee, if you just wake up and look at the Yankee box score, I think, you know, in a lot of cases, the box score lies. I think if you don't watch the game, you really don't have a good sense of the game. But in this case, I think if you saw the game and you look at the box score and the box score only, here's what you'll see. Everybody contributed up and down to your point. Brett Gardner, a hit and a run, scored. Giancarlo Stanton walked a couple of times, scored a run. He's involved. Gregorius, couple of hits, run scored. Torres, we mentioned. Andujar scores a run. Walker, we talked about. Higashioka scores a run. And Greg Bird is the one guy who goes 0 for 4.
Yep.
But at least to his credit, he has a home run taken away by the kid Angle in center field, to where at least you saw a good swing on the ball. So you're right. Everybody contributed. Good, easy, low-stress night for the Yankees. Move on, CC, tonight.
Right, absolutely. And this is a month where they got to stack their wins, and it started last night. Now, at Citi Field with the Mets, the game, who cares? Offensively, they look like a real Major League Baseball team for once, but the story was really Matt Harvey returning and then speaking to the media. And I don't know what your expectation was going into this media session, if you even had one. But I thought that it was just going to be very, very generic, that he probably had some ill will towards the organization that he wasn't going to show, but he wasn't going to be anywhere near contrite. But I was wrong. I mean, that's exactly what he was. He was very humble, very contrite. I mean, the only one time that, if you want to even say he took a shot at the Mets, is when someone asked him about how's it going in Cincinnati, and he said, well, I'm not in the bullpen.
Right.
And that was it, and that was more of like a joke, but we knew he was upset about that. But everything else is mistakes that I made coming back from injuries. I've made a lot of mistakes. So the fact that Matt Harvey sat there in that dugout and basically admitted faults for the first time in his career that I can remember, to me was like borderline shocking, because I just didn't expect him. I didn't think he was going to torch the organization sitting there. I didn't think he was going to be throwing fireballs all over the place. But the fact that he took a little bit of onus on himself before the game was very, very surprising to me.
All right, a couple of things here. Number one, we talked about this yesterday with the Mets asking him to move his availability up or down 10 minutes.
Right.
No.
He didn't do it.
So I expected Harvey, like you, to come out and say nothing. If he was going to be, I'm not going to say it, but we'll say it. If he's going to be douchey about that and not move literally 10 minutes, for what routine? Like, why not? Just because that's his time? Please. That bothered me. But then you watch him and you listen to him, and he sounded like the way you wanted him to sound when he was here. Next thing, the comment about, well, I'm not in the bullpen. You know, Matt, the reason you're in Cincinnati was because you couldn't start here. You weren't yourself anymore, and you kind of needed to find yourself, and you had no interest in going to the bullpen and doing that, and really became a problem. This notion that I'm a starter in Cincinnati, you know, he's been okay. I went back and I got his last five or six starts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his ERA is still in the high fours, right?
So his last start in Washington, 4 innings, 5 runs, 9 hits. Is that good?
No.
Start before that against the Phillies, 5 innings, 2 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks. Is that really good?
It's not really good, but you'll take it, I guess, from where
okay.
He's been.
Yeah. It's 5 innings.
Yeah.
The start before that against Pittsburgh, 3 2/3, 8 runs, 8 hits. He gave up 4 home runs. How's that?
That sucks.
Start before that against St. Louis. 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 3 walks.
Okay.
Is that good?
It's 1 earned run, I mean, in 5 innings.
Do you also note that he doesn't go beyond 5 innings in any of these starts?
Yeah.
The one I'll give him, he lost the game, but against the Cubs, 5 2/3, a little more length, I suppose. He only gave up 3 runs, 9 hits. That's okay.
Do you have pitch counts there?
Because I don't have pitch counts.
Because there's a big difference if he's getting pulled and his pitch count is manageable.
Yeah, but look
as opposed
at the amount
to
of hits he gives up.
No, I understand.
So I'm going to come back to a thought that I had back in probably May. And I stand by it today, and I believe he could have rekindled his career. And people think I'm nuts. Go for it. This ain't working. Closer. He's got the bulldog mentality. You want to refine your career? That's what he should have done here. He should have embraced the bullpen role, went out and dominated 2 or 3 batters when he had the opportunity. He could have been the Mets closer. I do believe that because he's not going to give you any more than 5 innings. Is that really a good starter at this point?
No, but I don't think, do you really think that, because it seems like you're angry at him saying that things were going well in Cincinnati. I don't really think he said a lot of that.
No, I'm not angry. I think the notion, and I agree it was more of a joke, but even just to say what's different in Cincinnati than here.
Well, he also did say,
I'm not in the bullpen.
Right, he also did say that I'm very grateful for Cincinnati allowing me to work through this as a starter.
Great.
Which is another one of those things.
But what does he work towards?
Right, and also with the Reds, where they got off to such a bad start. They fired their manager in the first 2 weeks of the season or whatever it was.
Yeah.
They were out of it. They had more of an opportunity because they wanted to flip him in a trade. So they had more of an opportunity to be patient with Matt Harvey, where the Mets still had hopes of doing something early on in the season. They couldn't just watch him get smacked around every single time. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he would have truly embraced it. Now, he did go to Cincinnati and pick up a little bit more velocity than what he had.
He did.
With the Mets. So I don't know if that was something that was mechanical or whatever happened with him. But it wasn't happening with the Mets when he was coming out of the bullpen. He looked terrible. I mean, there was just no life on anything.
He didn't want to do it.
Yeah, that's true. But I don't...
I guess my point is you can't sit there with the media yesterday. And I watched it. You're right. He was contrite. All that. He said all the right things. But at the same time, you can't sit there and talk about how, oh, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, and I loved being here. Well, then you should have embraced getting better in a role that might have suited you, because every time they trotted you out there every 5 days, you gave them nothing. And I know the injuries. I get it. So we need to kind of maybe shift. You know, John Smoltz went from starter to bullpen to starter. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And the better parts of his career, he was dominant out of the bullpen. Guys have done it.
Yeah, I just, do you think, though, that he could have changed a whole hell of a lot from the last month or so he was with the Mets to now? Because I think that's really possible. Because the Matt Harvey...
Meaning, what do you mean by that?
The Matt Harvey that was sitting in that dugout yesterday, if he had that same mentality in the last month...
He'd still be here.
Right.
I agree with you.
That's what I'm saying.
But
so,
it all comes back to attitude and want to.
Right, but my thing is that's why I'm lauding him a little bit for being the way he is now, and it sucks that it took him that long to figure it out, and maybe if he was more mature earlier, he'd still be here and contributing with the Mets. But sometimes it takes an event like this in somebody's life where all of a sudden you're jettisoned to the Cincinnati Reds and nobody cares who you are or who you were in a town like that, as opposed to being somebody who's a celebrity in New York City, to realize what happened to your career.
You're right. And you look back and, you know, the Mets did that 45-50 second video last night. Some people had a problem with it. I thought it was fine. It wasn't too long.
Like,
it was nothing wrong with it.
What is the problem with it, honestly?
There was nothing wrong with it,
right,
because while it was very short, he had some big moments with the Mets. And you look at that, it looks like a different person, too. The World Series start that they showed. You know, he looks just bigger and bulkier, and he's got the beard and all that. But I thought it was fine. So I don't know. I just look at a guy that Met fans really were hoping was going to be here for a long time. It went south and he did himself no favors. And to me, the attitude is what led him out of here more than anything.
Yeah, and I know they were discussing this on CMB yesterday, and Carlin was losing his mind over the fact that they were going to give him a tribute video.
I had no issue with it.
Yeah, neither did I. I mean, think about it, too. I mean, we're talking about the Mets, right? And in the New York Mets, from the time that he came up to the time that he left, name me another guy who was more important to them, more top
for a short
of mind.
Time.
It was, still it was.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, Yoenis Cespedes was a shorter time. I mean, Daniel Murphy was here for a long time, but I mean, that little, his NLCS and his postseason, what he did here, I mean, that was a real short time before. I mean, you could go through every Thor, if you want to, Syndergaard, you want to talk about him. and his contributions in that amount of time, and then all the DL stints that he's been on. So if you're talking about this era in Mets history, yes, there was a lot of down moments. Yes, there was a lot of issues, but the fact that, I mean, that I watched him pitch in a World Series game and pitch his ass off with an elimination game, and we can go through that whole deal again, and we won't, about whether or not he comes out and continues to pitch or not, but the fact that I watched that guy put his entire career on the line for that organization and blew through the innings limit that he didn't even want to blow through with him and his agent and put it on the line to win a World Series. He can't get 45 seconds when he comes back as a member of the Reds without people losing their minds over it?
Yeah, no, I had zero issue with that. It was fine. It wasn't too long. It was good. Real quick, you mentioned the pitch count. So just in the last few starts that we went over, so the game against Washington, 71 pitches in just four innings. He gave up, you know, four home, whatever it was, the five runs and nine hits. Before that, he goes five innings, 92 pitches, 3 2/3, 59, but that was the game he gave up four home runs, comes out, 94-5, 93-5 2/3. I mean,
so it's on him. He's not getting yanked early.
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't think he's ever going to be good again.
He's been average.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. He's never going to be dominant again.
But don't you think, like, I look at him and I look at the mindset of going out there. You know, when you talk about a guy like Mariano Rivera, you talk about a guy just because he went into the Hall of Fame, Trevor Hoffman, who every time I saw him, it seemed like he was blowing a save. But whatever, he's a million of them. It's kind of like you have to be in the right frame of mind, and that means you're going to go out there and dominate to get three guys out. You need three outs, lock down the save. That, to me, is his mindset, especially if you can't, as a starter, if you can't go six, seven innings, are you really a starter? I mean, the Mets are throwing some guy out there tonight that hasn't thrown more than five innings all season. Is that a starter?
Yeah, the Vargas-Romano matchup.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. All right. So I will agree that he has a better chance of success out of the bullpen for the rest of his career than he does as a starter based on what we've seen. But I don't think he's going to be successful anywhere. And also,
he might not be.
This is a guy who all we've heard is about how routine-oriented he is, and he's the guy that needs to pitch on the fifth day, and don't mess with his routine or give him an extra day or short rest and all that stuff. Now you're going to throw him in the bullpen where there's so much uncertainty about when he's going to pitch and what situation he's going to pitch in.
He said during his press conference yesterday with the media briefing, he said when he was injured, he didn't know if he was ever going to be able to pitch again, that his sports career and life might be over, and it scared him to hell, you know, scared him to death, which you can certainly understand. He's
couldn't
still
have scared
guy.
Him that much, right? Because if it did, then he would have taken role possible.
I would think you do anything you can to be successful.
Yeah,
anything.
I wonder too if it was about the message too, because I don't want to leave the Mets out of this either and put it all in Harvey's lap, because he was saying that he made a lot of mistakes. But I wonder if the message and the way it was delivered and the way Sandy Alderson sort of just talked about the night out stuff just willy-nilly
possible
during that time. And it didn't matter. It wasn't so much about the bullpen as it was the fact that it was coming from them.
You might
them.
Be right.
You know, like, I've had enough of this. We've had too much. It just needs to go in a different direction. And I'd like to see what would happen if the Reds pitched that idea to him right now. I still think he would say starter, 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 but I think he would think about it maybe a little bit more than he did with the Mets.
You're right. But again, to me, it's why it comes back to attitude. Take the best path to success, and I think he had an opportunity, and he wasn't interested. And you're right. The Mets probably didn't handle it right either, but they had no choice, and we know that. We went over that a million times when they made the trade. You couldn't keep throwing him out there every five innings. It was kind of like, oh, you hope for it, and he never could quite give it, you know. So you kind of had to move on.
I mean, how many of these guys, too? I was watching him, and he's sitting on the in the dugout with all the reporters around him, and I'm just thinking about so many Mets, just like Matt Harvey, that were big flashes and then just went away. You know, whether it was Doc Gooden or Matt Harvey, I mean, I know Dow Strawberry had a more extended success, whatever. But, like, there's so many guys that had Hall of Fame talent.
Where you don't get the 15-year run.
David Wright, same thing. And even Jose Reyes, when he came up. You know, and let's forget about, like, the Pulsifer, Isringhausen, Wilson days and those guys. But I'm talking about, it's just there's so many of these guys that just capture the city by storm, and then boom, it's over with the Mets.
I mean, listen, Doc and Darryl, they had a nice little run, but you're right. You thought you had a decade plus with those two leading the charge,
right?
Playoffs, World Series, and they got one. but it sure as hell should have been a lot more.
No, of course. I mean, it's a guy like Doc Gooden shouldn't be on a bender during the parade. A guy like Daryl Strawberry shouldn't have been a Dodger. You know what I'm saying? Like, that stuff should... Matt Harvey shouldn't have been in a Reds uniform this soon. Now, I know all these circumstances are different, but it's just like you think you've got a guy who is going to be in your uniform and win championships and be there forever and be the face of your organization that comes out of your organization. And then eventually it's some tragic story and he's sitting in another uniform telling you about what went wrong. It's just that organization.
There's Dave Magadan?
Dave Magadan.
Greg Jeffries?
I loved Greg Jeffries, man, because of the first name.
I
loved him.
Didn't go so well for him either. He was supposed to be the greatest Met ever.
Yeah,
right?
I remember. So I heard stories about him. He used to swing bats underwater. So then I would do that as a kid. And I wore number 9 as a little leaguer. And we had the same name. I love that guy.
Mackie Sasser?
Oh, yeah. Well, I turned into Mackie Sasser.
Alex Ochoa.
Oh, my God.
Todd Hundley.
Ochoa.
They moved Todd Hundley to left field. How'd that go?
Yeah.
Who was that second baseman? Miller was his last name in 88.
Pete Miller. Pete Miller?
It wasn't Pete.
Keith Miller.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. I mean, but about, none of them have stuck. Yeah.
Well, this one guy called up the other day and said, remember Fernando Martinez was like a F-Mart?
Was
the most untouchable prospect they ever had.
Sure.
You know, there's always a guy, too, that like in Carlos Gomez. I mean, when the Mets had him in the system, he was the next Willie Mays. Someone wrote about him being the next Willie Mays,
yeah.
I think. I remember reading that and being really excited.
Pulsifer, Wilson, and who was the third one?
Isringhausen.
And Isringhausen, who wound up, I don't know, becoming a great closer.
Right. Like Generation K.
And wasn't Pulsifer working at the Met facility in Port St. Lucie as a groundskeeper at last check?
Oh, my God. Really?
Wow.
I'm serious.
I didn't know that.
I'm serious. We'll look that up on the break. I believe one of those three is now like a groundskeeper.
Well, Pulsifer would be that guy.
I think it was Pulsifer.
It'll be like Mike becoming a tape op here.
I put in the Shermer audio. Okay. I got you 10 cuts. Yeah, a couple of preview cuts for you. Okay. So I got that in there. Hey, when's the press? When's the conference call? What's the access code? Who's running this thing out here? That would be something else. All right, yeah. Jerry.
All right, great.
We've got some Yankees and Mets to talk about. We'll get Erica Herskowitz in here. We'll see what type of crap she throws at us. She's always throwing some stuff at me all the time. She's always angry with me. She's always angry with me, I think.
Is that true?
I don't know. Lately,
I heard her with Evan and Moore on Friday. She wasn't angry at all.
She's got something against me these days. I don't know what it is. We were very friendly, Erica and I. Now, all of a sudden, I don't have any issues with Erica, so I'll let you two battle it out. I don't have any issues with her, but our relationship is crumbling before our eyes.
Give me Jacob Wilkins stories for her.
No.
I actually thought about that a lot yesterday. I'm still trying to figure out where you thought that story was going to go.
I knew
it's an untellable story on this radio station.
Yeah, Erica wanted me to tell her. I made her sign a waiver first.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways that you could have done it.
Not easy.
Yeah, I mean, you would have to leave out
a lot
details, but there's ways you could have gotten
right,
there.
The most important details.
But I just wanted him, my whole thing is I wanted him to try. That's what I wanted to see.
I thought he did a fine job.
Right, no, he did. But I wanted him to try to tell that story and see where it went.
Yeah, on satellite.
No. He would have just to see him fumble around it to try to figure out a way would have been entertaining to me.
Right.
All right, this music's going to run out if I don't read this thing.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Jerry and Gio for another day. Boomer will be back tomorrow. It is Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
Can I update a story?
Yes, please do.
To how I remember this, I have no idea.
Okay.
This is dated February 27, 2005.
Gee, 13 years
ago. I don't know why I remember this story. Bill Pulsifer took a job in Port St. Lucie or wherever as a groundskeeper. To try just to get back in baseball somehow.
I mean, but how does that get you back in baseball if you're just raking the field?
Well, you're around it. Maybe when you have some time off, you start throwing a little bit. I don't know. But 2005.
And obviously it didn't work, did it?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, he didn't get it like an appearance with the Twins or something.
Might have had some. Maybe he had some tryouts somewhere. I don't know. But yeah, he worked at the Mets complex in Port St. Lucie for a while.
Wow. He was a real intense guy. See, Isringhausen was my guy out of those three, and he ended up being somewhat, I mean, pretty good career.
He was very successful at St. Louis.
Right.
Sure.
A really good career. And then Paul Wilson, he was kind of boring. Paul Silver was fun to watch, though. He was like super intense and. But all three, I mean, just it's just amazing to think about. You know what? The Mets weren't all that far off from it happening again.
Yeah.
Thank God Jacob DeGrom has turned into a very consistent.
Syndergaard is still young and has a great chance to be great. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Matt, if he can ever stay on the field.
I mean, let's hope.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a guy who's had two extended DL stints the last 2 years and hasn't been all that great when he has
pitched.
You're right.
All right, Wheeler. I'll give you that third one.
All right.
Maybe him.
Maybe. Erica's here. And you and Erica were in the same intern class all the way back in what year was that?
1997.
Yep. 1997. Yep. You guys, look at that. Isn't that unbelievable? That's a good one.
Yep.
That's probably the best intern class ever, right?
There's three of my former interns.
That's right.
There you go.
I was really Spitz more than you, though.
We were running the program together.
Right. I was really more Spitz than you.
I remember I came
you,
in
though.
For an interview and... I remember that day so vividly.
Yeah, I do too. I was excited to see Mark Malusis in the newsroom. I said, "That's Moose," when I walked by him.
Another former intern.
He's like, "Hey, man, that's good luck in there."
Yeah, Jerry and I started. We started the same day, right? And there was that kid that gave out business cards.
I don't
remember that.
I do
you don't
not.
Remember that?
1997 intern class.
I just remember Tom Krasnicki.
Yeah.
Who is smarter than us living in Tampa right now.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Of course.
He All did right. better.
Well, welcome back,
well,
Erica.
Thank you. And I made sure to have a lot of material so Good. That I didn't run out so that you would bring up my time at a massage parlor in Montreal.
Do you know that story from Jacob?
I do know the story.
All right. So, yeah, people...
which is highly
Is
not
there
for
any
air.
Way right. that story could
no.
be told? Exactly.
No.
No, there definitely is.
It's him. Like, you can't. No.
He's we
like
should all less, give it a shot.
He's like the Les Nessman of like updates. Like, yeah. He's just very.
Right.
Straight.
So, if people missed it yesterday, we had Jacob Wilkins filling in on updates, and he had a horror story that happened to him at a bachelor party in Montreal that he can't tell on the air. But do you know the story?
I know the story, yeah.
It's an unbelievable story.
It's an unbelievable story.
Now, if you're me, you try to make him tell it on the air.
He's not going to tell it.
Right. But at least you give it a shot. You got to take a swing.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I would say yeah. But right. he wouldn't be able to tell it in a way that would be
but him just
remotely
trying.
Appropriate.
Right. But him just trying is funny. Right? All right?
Well, I came up with plenty of material, so you can't dig up dirt on me and expose me for all the
All right, let's hear
debauchery.
It.
All right. After this report brought to you by Two by London, visit the engagement experts at Americana Manhasset, East Hampton, and Westfield World Trade Center. Well, after an absolutely awful weekend in Boston, the Yankees traveled to Chicago last night and shut out the White Sox 7-0. Lance Lynn, the story from this one, he made his first Yankee start, fired 7 1/3 scoreless innings of two-hit ball, retiring 19 straight batters at one point. Here's Lynn, who says, mission accomplished.
I came to this start knowing that I needed to do my job, and I needed to do it at a high level. And I came out and had a good start. You know, the offense gave me some runs. Defense did a great job, and, you know, we're here, and we won, and hopefully I can keep doing that, and we can make a run at it.
Well, the Yankees scored 2 in the 4th, 2 in the 5th, 3 in the 8th, including a solo shot from Gleyber Torres and a 2-run jack from Neil Walker. CC Sabathia gets the start tonight against Reynaldo Lopez. The Yankees begin the day 9 games behind the Red Sox for first in the AL East. The Mets continue their series at home against the Reds. It'll be Jason Vargas facing Sal Romano. Last night, the Mets built a 5-0 lead and held on to beat the Reds in the series opener 6-4. Big night for Jeff McNeil. He went 3-for-4 and homered. Wilmer Flores also had 3 hits and chipped in with a pair of RBI singles.
I like this guy, McNeil.
You do?
Watch, yeah, I saw him Sunday. He had a big line drive base hit to right. Home run last night. I don't know. Is he 30? Is he a 32-year-old rookie? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's 26.
Yeah, so far so good.
Yeah, no,
is
I know.
12 for 33 or
I
something?
I mean, I shouldn't hold my disdain for the Mets organization and their lack of organizational depth against Jeff McNeil and what he's doing right now. But I kind of am, you know, like I don't want to get excited
Not
about
his
Jeff
fault.
McNeil.
You know what? He's gotten an opportunity so far, so good. He's taken advantage of it.
Right. But I mean, it's still, I mean, seeing a guy where number 68, who's 26 years old, I'm supposed to be sold that he's a prospect. I mean, it's just.
Wasn't Austin Jackson wearing 16?
Yeah, but we know
that
he
drives
stinks.
You nuts.
Right.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't stink. I mean, Austin Jackson's been a decent pro.
Yeah.
But you got to give him Doc Gooden's number?
Yeah. Well, they don't care about that stuff.
I know
man.
They
it's
don't
amazing.
Care about it, but I don't know.
Who was the pitcher that I remember Keith Hernandez couldn't stand he was wearing number 17? He was a reliever. Not I don't know. Bad. I'll look it up.
I don't know. But I will say this, being at the game the other day, the Haji t-shirts.
Yeah.
are all over the place.
Are they? From his site?
Yes. They are all over the place. I mean, he is selling some shirts.
Yeah, well, good for him.
A lot of product.
Right. I mean, I wanted him to bring us those shirts that day, and then he said he was going to send some stuff over, and I don't think he did.
That's on him then.
Right. He's been very busy, so I don't think he's going to. Yeah, but he's got some good stuff over there. I did get from a former fan employee, bought me some stuff over the Keith Hernandez site for the baby. Lou Zambrano works at CBS 880. He heard us talking about that, got me a Keith Hernandez onesie for my daughter.
That's cool.
Yeah, so my wife has not put her in the onesie yet. But
and she will not.
Right, probably not. If it doesn't have a tutu on it or some...
It's not pink.
Right, sparkles, it's not going to happen.
Get it.
Right.
All right, well, Noah Syndergaard pitched 6 1/3 innings, gave up 4 runs, 6 hits, says he was not at his best.
Felt pretty mediocre out there. I didn't feel like I had the best stuff in terms of mechanically and in terms of stuff. I was able to go out there and survive through 6. I just kind of ran out of gas in the 7th. But at that point, the offense had supplied enough runs for us to win a ball game, and the bullpen came in and shut it down.
You know what was nice about the offense too early? It wasn't, you know, get a guy on and hit a home run. I mean, they strung together base hit after, and nobody cares at this point, but it was, I don't know, it was like real baseball again, as opposed to strikeout or home run, which is pretty much what the game's become.
Daesung Koo was a guy I was thinking about who wore number
17. He wore number 17?
Yeah, Daesung Koo. Listen to some of these. Wilson Delgado, Daesung Koo, Jose Lima, David Newhand.
These all wore number 17.
Yeah, Fernando Tatis.
Tatis, I remember.
Do you remember Satoru Komiyama?
I do. Yeah.
He wore 17. Jason Anderson. I don't remember.
Mike, I don't remember him either.
Mike Bordick, Kevin Apier.
Mike Bordick.
Yeah, I mean.
Didn't they sign him late in the season after the Orioles cut him?
Well, I thought they traded for him. He hit a home run in his first
at-bat.
And
then he did nothing after that.
Yeah. I mean, it's 16. Oh, LaDuca wore 16. Angel Pagan. Like Matsuzaka wore 16. God, Kevin Kaczmarski. What a disaster. I mean, I don't know why they don't protect some of these. You don't have to retire every number, but protect them a little bit. Put them in 68, 69, 75, whatever. All right, what else? Sorry.
Before the game, the Mets played a video tribute in honor of Matt Harvey's return to Citi Field, and it lasted a whopping 48 seconds, and surprisingly did not include that picture of him flipping the bird from the hospital bed or his appearance on Bravo's Watch What Happens Live or him at a Ranger game when he should have been rehabbing in Florida. Here is Harvey.
America taking
says,
shots.
This is so ridiculous. I can't stand it. Here's Harvey who says he regrets all that drama.
People make mistakes, and I definitely made a lot of them, and I think that's kind of goes with the emotions of coming back here.
Didn't he also, against the Cubs, didn't he also miss a workout? Right?
Yeah, right.
And
you're
he
right.
said he got a flat tire with the Hummer or something like that?
Yes.
Or some nonsense?
So you had a problem with the video then, Erica.
Well, I just think it's stupid. But you know, well, it's just the state of the Mets when you have nothing to celebrate.
All the teams do it. All the teams do it. It's not just the Mets. That's
I did think it would all end differently, somehow less ignominiously.
You don't have a problem with it?
No,
I don't. No,
why?
Not at all. Because it was a minute. It was fine.
Yeah, he was just a pimple on the butt of the Mets for all those years.
Well, as Greg has pointed out, the whole history is a pimple on the butt of baseball, essentially.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, name a guy who was more important to the Mets in the stretch that he was there. Was there a guy? Because I don't think so.
No, I don't know that if he was so important or that he just sucked the air out of the room every time he did something or another. I mean, the guy was on the front page.
He was a lightning rod.
He was on the front page for a lot of negative stuff. I mean, it wasn't.
How much of that? I mean, some of it was his fault, as we know.
Holy Titanic, Batman, we're going down for the last time.
Don't be a pessimist, Robin.
When you think of Matt Harvey, don't you think of just drama and chaos?
Sure. Right, but we can't.
And the whole Dark Knight nonsense.
Right,
come
but
on.
I mean, we can't discount
the good
moments.
You know what? It wasn't nonsense at the time.
Yeah,
right. At the time, it was real.
You got to remember, too, this is about the fans. And the fans loved that guy at one point. Absolutely
and
loved him.
And hated him.
I understand.
At the end.
Right, at the end, things are never hunky-dory. But I remember saying yesterday, the start that he had, his first start back at home after the Tommy John surgery, I was there, and people were just absolutely throwing bouquets at him when he came. It was so important to them. Till 48 seconds when he comes back, you take the high road, like, well, who cares?
But I think it's all relative, because when you're the Mets and you don't have a lot to celebrate, and he's your guy, then you're going to get up for it.
Right. It's more of an indictment on the Mets than anything else, right? Because they didn't have anybody. If they actually had a good storied history with a bunch of guys that you felt great about, then that would have never happened. But they don't. And that's the best that they've had since 2013 or whenever he came up. So,
right. And part of me feels bad for him because I think he played the whole thing wrong. Like, he started off just totally
every
playing
wrong step.
Every wrong move. Yep. Like, he wanted to emulate Jeter, and he couldn't have been less
right.
Jeter than
Anti.
The way he behaved.
Yeah.
So. All right, Harvey's not scheduled to pitch in this series, so there's that. Meanwhile, reliever Roberto Osuna picked up the win in his first appearance for the Astros last night. Some fans booed when he entered the game in the eighth inning. Osuna hadn't pitched in the majors since May 6th while he was serving out that 75-game suspension for violating baseball's domestic violence policy.
Now, I'm glad you brought up the Astros because we talk about, you know, injuries and the way teams deal with injuries. You know what the Astros are going through right now?
Yeah, I know.
Injury-wise?
Right.
Altuve's out.
Yep.
Correa's out. Springer's out. McCullers may not come back. McCann is out. I'm sure I'm missing someone else. And they still have good talent and depth, but, I mean, Marwin Gonzalez, it's the home run last night. But it is incredible what they're going through right now.
Yeah, and we're sitting here talking about Judge and Sanchez, like the entire roster has
right.
been gutted.
I mean, if I just said Altuve, Correa, and what's his name, Springer,
yeah,
that should be enough to basically sink that team.
Right, absolutely. But, I mean, hey, the only pitcher that they lost was McCullers in that whole thing, and that's really what keeps it alive.
It does help, yes.
All right, contract talks between the Giants and Odell Beckham Jr. continue, and depending on who you speak to, the two sides are either making progress or not making progress. Regardless, OBJ continues to say the right things. According to reports, the Giants are currently valuing Beckham at less than the $16 million per season Sammy Watkins received in Kansas City. LeBron James, proving why he did go to L.A. in the first place, signed on as an executive producer for a three-part documentary series called Shut Up and Dribble. The name is in reference to what Fox News host Laura Ingraham told the basketball star he should do instead of talking about politics. The Showtime series will take a look at athletes and their roles in the current political climate. The series debuts in October.
All right, Erica, we have any reads here? No, we do have something coming up. So, I mean, LeBron James, who was always dipping his toe in some of that stuff, the social issues, is now going full bore now, it seems like, into it with the school, of course, and now this. So I guess the latter part of his career is really going to transition into someone who's going to have his voice heard in all sorts of ways.
If anybody can, it's him.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Now, this was written because of that strange guy that went up to Dan Rather, right? In the street, what's the frequency?
Yeah,
Kenneth
mugged him.
Yeah, mugged him and said that?
Yeah.
R.E.M. wrote a song about this? Interesting.
Dropping some rock knowledge. I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
It's
not a big R.E.M. fan, right? R.E.M.?
Yeah. Me neither.
Not a big fan. Aside, didn't they also have the song from Beverly Hills, 90210?
I don't know what that one was.
How do you not know that? When Brenda and Dylan broke up?
I did not. I was not a big fan of that one.
Wait, what?
Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I was too
really?
Young when that was popular, yeah. I was watching Saved
by the
Bell.
I was no chance.
I was too young as well.
You were not too young. You're older than me, significantly older than me. So you never got into Beverly Hills 90210?
No.
Huh.
Right. I was much more mature.
Yeah.
By that
no,
time.
No, he wasn't actually. Not yet. Al matured late in life.
I caught on to Melrose Place when that came out.
See, I didn't care for that.
Yeah, Heather Locklear.
Yeah, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, though she was barely 90210.
But she was also Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Right, first.
Absolutely.
You see, I was huge on
kid.
Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Had to.
Right.
See, you like that, Al.
You had to watch Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
But then those other ones. And then R.E.M. The reason I don't like R.E.M. is that song Everybody Hurts. I can't stand that song. That's a
it's depressing,
miserable song.
Does it make you sad?
Because you're going to find it.
Yeah.
As you
bad
start
guy.
Diving. No, it doesn't make me sad as much as it's... I just. And then there was a video. They're like in... Yeah. They're, oh,
God. It does.
So bad.
Just think of something sad that happened to you.
You right. Start bawling your eyes out.
And then the video, they're all stuck in traffic, and they're like getting out of the car, and they're all together because their lives suck collectively. It's just miserable.
Right.
Everything sucks. Why am I even living anymore? It's horrible.
Yeah, I know. If you listen to most songs, though, this is why we've had the debate for years. Do lyrics really matter? The hook matters.
Yeah, right.
100% the hook matters. but do the lyrics matter? Most songs are about depression, breaking up with your girlfriend, getting dumped. I wanted her. I ended up with her instead. It really is just...
Yeah.
It's terrible. Terrible.
I'm stuck in traffic on the BQE.
It sucks.
Oh.
And what's the song that's out there now? It was popular over the winter, maybe even last summer. Ouch. About, you know, you better go get a friend before you turn 70. Or, you know the song I'm talking about? It was a very popular pop song. And I'm unfortunately looking at three guys that have no idea.
No, well, there. I'll tell you one that totally flipped my mind because I didn't know what it was about. So there was some guy named Logic who wrote this song to help people that were having some mental issues that, you know, it's like a suicide prevention song. But I didn't know that's what it was when I first heard it. So it comes on the radio and it starts out like the worst thing you'd ever heard. And like the guy comes on and goes, I want to die.
Yes.
I don't want to live. I want to die.
That's another bad one. Yep.
So like, but then it turns into like, all right, he gets through that and he's happy. But I didn't know that. And I would change the channel every time it would come on. Because I'm like, why is this guy just screaming that he wants to die?
Another very popular song.
Yeah.
Yes. Very much so.
I mean, the first you turn on the radio, the pop station.
You,
whatever,
sir, die.
And he's like, I want to die. I don't want to live. Let's
drop dead.
Die.
It's a good song, too.
I know. It was catchy, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't, like, you get in your car. Sometimes I'll put on the radio station and listen to it all the way driving in. There's other times where I need a little juice, right? I need something else. So I'll either put on the radio to listen to music or I'll use stuff on my phone. And then when that pops on and it's dark.
You know what? Kill yourself.
In the winter time, right?
Yes.
And it's, I want to die. No, stop. I don't want to hear this. But anyway, it turned out to be like a great song and it raised awareness and everything else. But I would have never known.
Even the song I'm talking about, it's like life just passes you by so quickly.
Right.
And it just, you actually start listening to the lyrics like, why am I singing this? Like,
you'll die.
Like, don't bury the lead on the I Want to Die song. You know what I'm saying? Because I would have never known.
Well, I've said some bad things.
It's a lot of death that you've said, too.
It's not a lot of death.
I mean,
7 years. That's it. Can you find 7 years? I'm waiting for someone on Twitter.
Yes. I know,
you know that song. It's a really good song.
But
you talk about depressing. Let me thank Nicholas.
Oh, it was like...
appreciate that on Twitter.
Oh, what is that? What is that? It's like...
It's a good song, but God.
I wish I was 7 years old and a bit-a-doo-doo. Oh, yeah. This is another one I can't stand.
Lucas Graham.
That's it.
This is
by the end of the song, his life's over.
All right, let me go get the casket because it's over soon.
I wish I was 55 years old when I could still walk.
Once I was 7 years old.
Oh, good, right?
Mama told me,
yeah, this song.
Make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely.
Oh, good, that's fine.
Once I was 7 years old. I mean, I'd never move faster when this came on the radio. Whap! Boom.
You never
station.
Got into this song.
No.
It's very catchy, though.
It's not catchy.
It was a
no,
big,
it is, actually.
I can't deal with the depression songs. I can't deal
each other to the limits.
Well,
we were
Cat Stevens, right? The cat's in the cradle. It's the same thing. Didn't pay attention to his kid. All of a sudden, he starts to realize, wow, I need to start taking advantage of my life.
And then Harry Chapin.
And his kid doesn't want any part of him.
It was Harry Chapin and then died in a car crash, right? Or no. Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of popular songs are depressing as hell.
Yeah, that's why I'm just going to listen to Cardi B for the rest of my life.
That's great.
Like it like that. Ooh, baby. Cardi.
Cardi B and Nicki Minaj, not the same person.
No.
They sound exactly alike.
Yeah, I think there's a slight difference. I could you could give me a test. I could pick them out each time.
Well, you know the music.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But I mean, like, to me, just give me anything. That's why I've moved into, like, I really do appreciate all form. We've talked about this, jazz. I've played a ton of music. But now, like, I need just something light. I can't go deep with the music anymore. Like, that's why I would, like, you know, DJ Khaled puts out a song with Justin Bieber.
You're
supposed
it.
To be like a summer song and it's just happy.
Right.
I'm listening to it.
Got it.
Put that on a boat and let's go.
And you're
I don't
good
need
to go.
Lucas Graham. He's 7 years old and he's going to die.
That's such a good song.
I don't
though.
Need this guy saying, I'm going to die.
You know what it is,
I don't
though?
Need that.
It's
I'm
real.
I'm on the boat. Fine, it's real. We live enough real. You know what I'm saying? Like when I'm flying out on the water, I don't need some guy telling me that he's going to die.
Happy ending.
I get it.
Do you have a go-to boat song or set list that you use?
Sure. Yeah, without a doubt.
Who's on it? Jimmy Buffett?
No. It's all, well, I try to keep it current. So whatever like current songs are out there for the summer. That's what I'll keep
People love to put Bob Marley on a boat.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah. It makes you feel like you're in the islands.
Is this clean, by the way?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just stop it right there just to
make
case.
Sure.
Yeah, but that's the new one that's out. Well, I'm not positive about any of that stuff.
Hmm.
But,
Well, I will say, and this is probably a perfect time, do you know what the secret to long life is?
I don't know. If you were Boomer, you'd go to a call.
No, right? I'm not going to go to a call. I'm not doing that at all.
Like, because Ted Middletown knows. That's no, what I was waiting
for. No, there is a woman in the Bronx. She turned 106 last week. I actually teased this during one of the shows, and I forgot to get to it.
Yeah.
She turned 106. And you know when people hit that 100-year mark, they always go, they do the news story on them. Hey, so what's your secret? And everybody's got this different idea of what it takes for her. Tons of vegetables.
Okay.
In her 40s, she decided she's going to eat mostly vegetables. Makes sense. In her 40s, she decided she was going to exercise.
Okay.
All good. Here's why the smartest person in the room is not in this room. Her third secret, never get married.
Really?
Yes. Avoid the stresses of marriage.
Hmm.
Stay single.
Interesting.
Eddie, you're slow on the trigger finger.
Yeah, right. Where's the...
He's staring at me.
Right, he doesn't even know.
That's right up your alley.
He's out of it.
All right, well.
Yeah, so...
We're all, except for Al, we're all screwed in that regard.
Right, but then again, you'll find someone who's 120 years old who's smoking cigarettes every day and eating bacon cheeseburgers and has been married six times.
And drinking vodka.
Right. So, I mean, there's always some sort of caveat there. And the guy who runs 7 miles a day has heart problems, right? I mean,
in some cases, yes.
There's a lot of that stuff.
Usually when that happens, though, there's a condition that's undetected.
Right, or it's a family history, whatever it is.
Right. Most people that run 7 miles a day, doing just fine.
Yeah, maybe.
Runners never look healthy when I see them on the road running.
Yeah, gaunt and...
They're either overweight, strangely.
That's the one that amazes me.
It's because they're running. They just started, you know? That's
what
they're doing.
No, I think what happens, because I've seen marathoners, legitimately, if you go to the New York City Marathon, the people who finish the 26 miles, many of them overweight. That is 100% true.
I wonder if it's because they burn so many calories, they think they can eat more.
Right. So they reward themselves for running.
You can, though. You can't finish a marathon being overweight.
100% you can.
You can be in shape for a certain activity and not be physically fit.
Hmm.
You can be heart strong, and you can have the breathing right to run, and your legs can be fine. But you can be heavy. I'm not saying you'd be 350 pounds, but right. I think if you had the notion or the idea of what a marathon runner looks like, I think you'd think it'd be a guy that's 5'10", weighs 160 pounds, and just looks like he is physically fit. And then I think, like Al's talking about, some people will look a little chunky, but all good. They can do it. We can't.
No, I can't. I ran a 5K once. I did do that.
You ran the whole thing?
Yeah, this is
did
when
you
I
really?
Was, well, I mean, you got to remember, I was at one point in my life, I was in very good shape.
I find that hard to believe. Not that you were in shape, that you ran.
Oh, yeah.
You don't all look like the running type.
Yeah, when I mean, I was like 23, 24, but I did it.
I would have thought more CrossFit.
CrossFit?
Yeah.
No.
You're a big guy. I would have thought
that,
more
is
CrossFit.
Is that a cult?
Flipping tires.
No, yeah. What is it?
The CrossFit people are just
they're into it.
Insufferable. Oh, they can't. That's all they do is talk about it.
Well,
it's
but
like
that's
one of those things that CrossFit
that,
and vegan people just won't shut up about what they do. Like, that's great. I'm really happy that you're healthy. I don't care. Like, when people go on diets, it's all they do is they talk about it. It's a lifestyle thing, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. No cheese. Screw you with the no cheese. Like, and then, like, one of my...
Screw you with the no cheese.
One of my favorite guys that's worked here, he just happened to leave for another job. This guy, James Ward. Love the guy, right? He's been a producer. Does this CrossFit, wouldn't shut up about it. Every time he produced shows and I was over at the network, I walk in the control, CrossFit this, CrossFit that, showing me videos.
Well, that's what he's passionate about.
Yeah, but
you're passionate about your impersonations with guys. Maybe once in a while someone should tell you to shut up.
No. But wait a second. That's on a show that I'm...
Time out. Hold on. I'll BS on this. You didn't tell me you've never done that in the newsroom?
Sure,
of course.
But here's the thing:
you're James Ward.
But that's an I'm trying to. He's trying to entertain me
it's
with
what
his
he's
CrossFit.
Passionate about.
I'm not passionate about that. I just do it to entertain, to get a laugh. I'm not passionate about it. Just happens.
You have some passion.
Well, you can't tell me what I'm passionate about or not. I'm telling you.
You do it a lot.
I do it a lot out in the newsroom.
At times, you have sure.
At times or a lot? Which one?
At times. Okay. I would not say a lot.
Right, exactly.
And anytime I spoke to James Ward, it was not about CrossFit.
Well, that's what I'm telling you. It was all about CrossFit.
Well, he's passionate about it.
I mean, I'm telling you, I don't talk at all. I barely say anything outside of the show.
Recently, that's true.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
Right, but there have been times you've run around out there doing
at times. What are you talking about? Occasionally.
Because if you like something, it's fine. Maybe not shove it down people's throat. Okay.
Listen, this is a total... I'm telling you, the CrossFit people and the vegans are a different breed. They are.
I don't know about the vegans, but the CrossFit people are into it. I know that.
What about vegan CrossFitters? What do they bring up first?
Do you know any vegan
CrossFitters?
No, I do not.
James Ward, I think.
Was he
for a time vegan.
Oh, God.
For real?
Yep.
I don't know how you do that. I really don't know. Al and I talk about this all the time. Even if you wanted to be, I don't know how you are.
I mean, I know it's because it's a self-conscious thing with me, and I don't want to hear how they're doing well. I don't want to hear it because they're eating well and they're exercising. I'm not doing either one of those things. But I mean,
you're
not
interested.
I don't think I'm the only one that believes that the CrossFitters and the vegans are in your face.
Vegans, I've never heard that about CrossFitters. Oh. I didn't know that was like a cult.
Oh my goodness, they love each other and I've been doing this and this. There's no other type of exercise that works other than this. I mean, they're pumping their chest all
the time.
You've
educated me on CrossFitters.
There you go. Finally, you've come around. All right, Nick is in Connecticut. What's happening, Nick? Nick,
hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man, what do you got?
Hello?
Yes, what's up, Nick?
All right. So listen, a guy called a few minutes ago or whatever talking about Ronald Torres, and Jerry kind of dismissed it a little bit. And I have to agree with Jerry that he's not necessarily the heart and soul of the Yankees, but he definitely is a spark plug. I mean, he's the guy that can come off the bench with runners on second and third, maybe one or two outs, and get a big hit that strikes everybody and gets the team going, maybe starts a rally. Or he comes in, he makes a big play on a hole in the hole in shortstop, gets the third out of an inning to stop a rally or something. Like, that's the kind of guy he is.
Agreed.
And that's the kind of guy the Yankees don't have.
Heart and soul is a little strong, though.
Right, and you're right. That guy maybe like oversold it a little bit, but I think he's very important.
I think he is an important piece. I mean, listen, you only have a certain amount of guys on the roster. They should all be important, and he is a spark plug, and he's great off the bench. He's great in the clubhouse and the dugout, all that stuff. I agree with you. But if this season goes down the tubes because Ronald Torres wasn't around, then the Yankees were not as good as I thought they were. That's it.
No, that's true. You're right, but I'm saying this funk that they've been in, they've been playing, what, about 500 baseball for the last couple of weeks whatever it is?
Yep.
This funk that they're in could have been stopped, or he is the type of guy that could turn it around with one big hit or a couple big hits through the string that might, maybe we're instead of 500, we're, you know, four or five games over 500.
I don't know.
I mean, you know who else can do that? Aaron Judge.
Right.
I mean, that's the guy who could do that more than Ronald Torres.
He had a part on this team just like Aaron Judge does. Judges is bigger, but listen. They're all important.
Right.
But he's not the heart and soul of the team.
I mean, ripping Ronald Torres out of the clubhouse is going to now make the Yankees flatline. Let's go to Donald in Connecticut. What's happening, Donald?
Gio, what's up?
Hey, man.
I just wanted to sympathize a little bit with you, but you have to take into consideration the CrossFitters and the vegans are a little bit like born again when they see someone down on their luck. I'm in shape and fit, and they don't bother me. You know,
right.
I have friends who are CrossFitters and vegans, and they don't feel the need to save me and hand me a pamphlet.
It's true.
Like they want to do to you.
That is true. That is very. You know what, Donald? You got a good point there. But the problem is, I'm not looking for help. If I wanted help, I'd go and get the help. I don't want it. I don't want it.
Of course, you don't want help. You want that's right. What it is.
Yeah.
The destitute don't want help. They need people to save them.
Yeah, right.
They're destitute.
Donald, I'm with you 100%. I think there is something to the fact that when you're in shape and you see people that don't give a damn about themselves, like, you know, in terms of what they eat and how they eat and what they're doing to themselves inside, because it's, you know, it's kind of like, would you right now suck down a bottle of poison?
No.
Of course you wouldn't. But the person that only is going to eat organics is sitting there that will tell me and you every time you take an apple and you don't clean it and rinse it, you're a little bit at a time, a little bit. So people have the notion of they're trying to help you. I don't think they're trying to gloat or any of that.
Mm.
But there is, I'm with him. There's a little bit to that.
Yeah. All right. Clem, Rockland County. What's happening, Clem?
All right. Let me just start off like this. Gio, I love you. You're a great addition to the show. Your impersonations are phenomenal. I always think you should do a show with Mike and Beningo, but just doing their voices. You know, not them, but just you doing their voices, and it would be fantastic. But with that said, I used to own an MMA school, a fitness center. People would come in, they do jiu-jitsu, they get their life on track, they feel great. All of a sudden, all they preach was Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Everywhere they go, Brazilian jiu-jitsu this, Brazilian jiu-jitsu that. Right now, you're on the fat team, so you don't understand the benefit of, like, you know, what it can transform your life, man. I mean, these women, they become housewives, mothers, and that's all they got.
Where'd Clem go?
I don't know. I mean, they got to shut up, and he just goes away. It's crazy how that happens. Billy's in the Bronx. What's going on, Billy?
What's up, Gio?
Hey, man.
Hey, so I'm thinking you're built a little bit like Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
What if they tried to get the Babe to do CrossFit? Can you imagine that scenario?
Oh, my God. He'd throw a hot dog at him. That's what he would do.
He'd throw a hot dog and a cigar at their head. You kidding me?
Right, exactly. There you go, Billy. See? That's what I needed. That's what I needed, Billy, before we went to the break. Exactly. I think Babe Ruth needed CrossFit to be the greatest baseball player of all time? No, I don't think so.
Balls that bounced over the fence were home runs in his day.
Still.
Was he really the greatest of all time? How many hot dogs could you suck down?
He was a pitcher, too.
He was a pitcher, too, and a damn good one.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Jerry and Gio for another day. Boomer will be back tomorrow. We've got Erica back with an update. What's happening over there, Erica?
Well, this report's brought to you by Storage Post. For convenient and competitively priced self-storage and up to 2 months rent-free, visit storagepost.com. Funky Cole Medina is definitely distracting me. Tone Loke.
How could it not?
Yeah. Tone Loke? Yeah. Big bounce-back effort from the Yankees last night. They shut out the White Sox in Chicago 7-0. Lance Lynn made his first Yankees start, pitched 7 1/3 scoreless, gave up 2 hits, walked 1, fanned 9, got plenty of support along the way. Gleyber Torres homered and singled in a run. Neil Walker also went yard as the Yankees pick up their first win in 6 games. Here's Yankee skipper Aaron Boone hoping the win creates some momentum.
It was a tough day coming in here just with the travel, I think, and you know, for the guys to come out and play well, I thought our energy was good, and we got to keep that going tomorrow. So it was a good start to this series, and hopefully CeCe can take it from here.
CeCe Sabathia starts tonight when the Yanks and White Sox meet for the middle of three on the south side. The Yanks begin the day 9 games behind the Red Sox, who will visit Toronto. Good news regarding the status of Jay Happ. He is on track to start Thursday against the Rangers, no longer contagious from the hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Would you, so Al said earlier, he would not want to catch the first game.
Yeah, right.
He'd be afraid that he would contract this non-contagious disease now.
Right.
That he's beyond that it's contagious.
Right. I mean, I think I would believe the doctors that it was not, because think about that. If that spread throughout the locker room, that'd be a travesty.
They'll be fine this week.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be a problem at all. But I mean, him flying though, because it's going around everywhere. I mean, flying is going to be a big problem if you're going on airplanes anytime soon. With this hand, foot, and mouth.
Right. So would you get on the same plane with him, Al? Or would you drive to the next city?
No. I mean, listen. I'm getting on a plane with 300 people. I'm sure there's many people airborne problems going on in
there. Then you're getting on a boat.
Right, which is the...
And sure. Then a small plane that has had a million tourists in it. Have fun.
I'm just going to wipe down everything.
He does. I've been on a plane with him before. He does do that.
I did that going to Minneapolis. It didn't work because I'm convinced it was, because there was a guy coughing behind me. I'm convinced it was that son of a bitch who got me sick. I'm telling you, it had to have been because I wiped down everything when I was going out there. Absolutely. And he's...
You should have wore a surgical mask.
I thought about it.
And how are flight attendants not always sick?
Maybe their immune system is built up.
Right, yeah, basically.
I don't know.
The pilots question. Get their own.
Well, think
cabin.
How come the assistants in a doctor's office aren't always sick, or doctors being sick?
Yeah. Great question.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're basically zombies at this point. I mean, the germs are running through them. They have built up a higher immune system.
Should the doctor's office be warm or cool?
Cool.
Warm.
Nah, cool.
The doctor I go to, it's always warm, and I feel like
really?
That spreads germs
breeds,
more.
Yeah,
no?
Right.
No, but you have to get undressed, so they don't want you to be cold.
No, no, no.
No, I don't get undressed.
You don't get undressed at the doctor's office?
No.
Ever?
Once in a while for
now
a physical,
my
but
doctor.
Not when I'm sick.
Maybe
no.
Something's going on that I thought they did that to all the patients.
Oh, hi, Erica. Nice
no?
to see you. Take your
they
clothes off.
They don't do that to all the patients?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
I don't think so.
All right, well, my doctor's office is warm.
Oh, I'm going to leave this right here. Just let it linger. There's so many jokes in
Montreal.
Why are you afraid to make jokes?
No. I'm not afraid.
Hashtag me too. What?
Go ahead.
The Mets beat the Reds last night 6-4. Wilmer Flores, Todd Frazier, Austin Jackson all singled in runs. Kevin Plawecki and Jeff McNeil added solo shots. The Mets built a 5-0 lead and managed to hang on for their second win in 3 games. Noah Syndergaard improves to 7-2. He gave up 4 runs on 6 hits over 6 1/3. Mets skipper Mickey Callaway liked the start, but says Syndergaard is a perfectionist.
I know he's probably upset like he usually is when he doesn't throw a shutout.
That's like literally the only reason I played that cut. Like if I just did the ha-ha.
Oh, God.
It is amazing. Being a Met manager dumbifies you.
Yeah, well, I don't know if this guy was exactly, you know, Einstein.
No, because if they were winning, we wouldn't pick up on that as much.
If this team was, let's see, you know, like the Yankees or even just average,
yeah,
I don't think we'd pick up on that stuff as much
still,
as we do.
Still, though, that laugh that we play over.
I don't care if you're 30 games over 500. You sound like that. We're going to pick up on it.
I guess we were
killing Terry Collins.
You would
Collins
pick it up. That's your
mumbles.
Thing. You like to pick up everybody's little ticks.
Well, right. I mean, but that's more than just a little tick. I mean, that's... that could go into a sound effects library for like dumb guy laugh, right?
Yeah, that's what you would label it.
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, that's when if someone says do a dumb guy laugh, you go.
That's it.
It's perfect. It's like he's doing a bit.
He's not doing a bit.
I know.
He's being him. Before the game, the Mets honored Matt Harvey with a video tribute. He's not scheduled to pitch in this series, but said before the game he regrets the mistakes he made while playing for the Mets.
It was a really, really fun time, and I absolutely loved being here and playing here. And like I said, I'm just happy I'm healthy finally.
And I'm not going to kill him this time, but the Mets did ask Harvey to move his press conference yesterday to either 3:45 or 4:15. So, of course, he did it at 4. Yeah. I'm curious how many people were in the Mickey Callaway press conference. Because you would think if you were a beat reporter, you had to be with Harvey. So is Callaway basically just talking to Howie Rose? He's just laughing.
Yeah, maybe. Right. There's nobody there. Where'd everybody go? Yeah.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
unless they moved the Callaway one either way.
I don't think they did. Because I heard Howie at one point last night in the first inning talking about how he missed the Harvey time with the media because he was at Callaway's media session.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I don't know if the media was one.
Jay Horowitz, Howie Rose, and that Lloyd Carroll from the Queen's Chronicle. Those are the only people
there. You go.
Yeah.
Two people in the seats. That's it.
What else, Erica?
Well, depending on what you read, contract talks between the Giants and Odell Beckham Jr. are either going well or they're not going well. But either way, Beckham continues to do and say the right things. Apparently, Beckham's people met with the Giants last week but couldn't agree on his current market value. And Jets head coach Todd Bowles says don't ask him who his starting quarterback will be this season. He is not putting a timetable on that decision. In fact, the Jets' 3-man quarterback competition could continue even after the 4th preseason game. Josh McCown, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Darnold all fighting it out for that starting job. Now, the teams I know around the league, because you got the full slate of preseason games this week for week one of the NFL preseason, they got to release their depth charts.
Yeah.
And so I guess it's Adam Gase put down 2 starting running backs. I don't know if you saw this.
Yeah, I did. So fantasy football people are losing their minds, right?
And they asked him why. Do you see the answer?
No, it's, yeah.
Just to be an a-hole.
Oh, really? Wow.
That's the quote.
Right. If he does that in week one, then people are going to lose. Like,
yeah,
they probably. The fantasy
but
football
you play
community.
Fantasy football in the preseason?
No, you don't. Well, no, you don't.
So why would you get nuts over that?
Well, because you're drafting, and you got to figure out, because the drafts are going to start soon, and if he doesn't decide on a starter...
If Saquon Barkley carries the ball 3 times this week, does that mean anything?
No, but that's different, because you know he's going to get a majority of the carries.
Right.
Right, you know he's the number one. If you don't know who the number one
is
in Miami, but it's got to be the guy, Kenyon Drake, right? Has to be the guy that they're going to use.
He was listed
like
as one.
He has to be. I mean, that guy was unbelievable towards the end of the season last year after they traded away Ajayi, so it's got to be him. So who's the other guy?
I don't remember. I remember Drake for sure. I don't remember who the second guy was.
Hmm.
I just
Google it.
I could. I'm not going to.
All right.
And 13 North Carolina football players were suspended for selling their Nike team-issued sneakers to the NCAA.
Frank Gore is there now? I didn't know that. I didn't know that Frank Gore went to Miami. So I guess those are the
Those are the two.
It's got, I mean, Drake's got to be the one, right. And Gore will get a couple of, it'll be like Jonathan Stewart and Saquon Barkley. It'll be exactly like that.
Right.
Sorry, Eric.
That's okay. The NCAA approved the school's request to delay some of those suspensions because it was affecting multiple players at one position. That's it.
Yeah, cool. I mean, that to me opens up that Pandora's box of that conversation about the kids and the money and everything else, but I mean, it's stupid because you need to know the rules and how you can't do that and sell the sneakers. But at the same time, like, all right, you got this really expensive thing. You don't have a lot of money. I mean, can you really blame a guy for giving it a shot?
No, but they'll be suspended and they'll move on.
Right.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Now that Odell Beckham Jr., his agent, and the Giants are talking contract, there's all sorts of reports out there.
Yeah.
You know, report here, report there. Who's reporting what? So you had this ESPN reporter, Josina Anderson, who seems to break a story every now and then. And she had a report out there that the Odell Beckham Jr. contract, the yearly money, was going to be less than Sammy Watkins. At least that's what the Giants had initially offered, that the yearly money, you know, per year structure, was going to be less than Sammy Watkins. And then that went out there like, oh, low ball, Giants are low balling. Oh, Odell Beckham Jr., his agent has left the complex, and just big explosion. But then if you look at other reports, it's like the Giants intend on making Odell Beckham Jr. the highest paid receiver, and, you know, maybe the agent's fine, they're still talking, they're negotiating in good faith. So, I mean, I do believe the latter. I don't think that they tried to lowball him at all. And by the way, if you look at the Giants cap situation, I mean, it is dire. Like, they, right now,
not
as
easy
it stands,
to do this.
Right, as it stands this morning, they have something like $100,000 in cap space. So, to think about that, and then to fit in another contract like that, yeah, maybe in year one of this deal, he's not going to be, as far as average yearly salary, the top-paid wide receiver. But then if you look at guarantees, and you look at down the road, and you, whatever it is, they're going to have to do some maneuvering. So, I thought that was a little bit of a premature report out there by Josina Anderson. And I actually do think that this is going to get done in the next couple of weeks, which is something that I didn't think a couple of months ago with the way things were going. But Odell Beckham Jr. has been a really good citizen when it comes to showing up and not causing any distractions. And I think this long-term deal is going
to
get done.
Makes it really hard to believe what you read anymore. And I'm not taking a shot at reporters at any stretch, because, or by any stretch, because I know what they do. It's very difficult. I've seen it. I've been around it. That said, when you get conflicting reports that are so different, and in a lot of cases it happens, you sit there and say, are they making stuff up? Like, how can someone source? And like I said, I've been around it, and I see them talking to team sources, and I see them talking to, you know, people within the organization. So when I say this, I know they're not. But when you get such different information and stories are so opposite, so they say, like, who's lying to me? Like, you know, to think that, I think it was John Mara with you guys. I think, maybe it was with the media, maybe it was with you and Boomer, I don't remember, but the quote was, we know what it's going to take to get him signed. That tells me that it's not going to be for 14.7 per year.
Right, of course.
He knows what the top guys are making, and he knows how important Beckham is to this franchise and how good he is, and that he probably should, likely should be the highest paid receiver in the game. So I don't think John Mara is going to tell his people, talk to Odell's people, let's see if he says 14.5. Okay, I'll take it. You know, so to me, I'm sure she got her information from someone within the organization, maybe from Odell's people, who knows, but there's always more to the story. And until it happens, it's almost like you read the stuff. Like my son says to me yesterday, he goes, hey, I'm reading the story here. The Mets are going to go outside the organization for a GM. I'm like, yeah, dude, this is like the 17th guy that's written the same thing. Whatever.
Yeah,
until it happens, what is it?
Yeah.
Tell me when Odell Beckham Jr. signs, what the money is, or when the two sides decide we can't come to an agreement, we'll deal with it later. Because then you got something.
Well, that's a good point, because now we've heard Mets are going to go outside for a GM, but Mickey Callaway's coming back. And I don't think you can have both of those at the same time.
Usually it doesn't work.
Yeah, because usually the general manager is going to want his own manager,
yes,
and he's going to look at what Mickey Callaway's done this year and look back at some of these press conferences and hear, and say, no, sorry, this didn't work out.
Who's this goober?
Yeah, right, exactly. Or maybe he comes in and says, I know Mickey from a previous situation, and I think you can do better. But rarely does that happen, especially when a team's 20 games or close to it under 500 and they've fallen off the face of the earth.
I'll give you another one, too, about reporters. This one I love. And we're in a Twitter world now.
Yep.
We all know that. That's how we get most of our news in this business, which is crazy to think, but that's the way it is. Why do we got to put it out there and say so-and-so first? Just retweet their tweet then.
Oh, yeah. Like the MLB reporters are in a trade deadline where John Heyman would say...
Joel Sherman had it first.
Right.
Yeah. Just retweet Joel Sherman's tweet then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you even need to do that. Be like, do fans care about that?
I don't think so, but I think it's very nice. You want to give them credit, but why write it? Just repost it for them.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, just...
That's all.
Right. No, I understand. I don't think... I mean, maybe there's a small section of fans out there that are really interested in who got what report first, but I mean, I never was.
Well, listen, the more stories you break, the more money you make. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's clear. We know that. If you're breaking stories and most of them happen, you're going to make more money.
Yeah, I mean, like Woj and that Shams, the guy from Yahoo, Shams Charnia, whatever the hell his name
who?
Is.
Who?
So
Shams Charnia? You know, I know Jeff Passan from Yahoo Sports.
No, I'm talking about the NBA guy. So when
I don't know Shams.
You don't know Shams. So Shams is a big deal, man. Come on, you got to get on the Shams train. So Woj was the guy at Yahoo, right?
He left.
He left. One of Woj's protege was this Shams. So Shams, after Woj left, was actually breaking more stories than Woj
was kidding.
For a little bit. And he's fresh out of college. The guy's just been killing it. And then he just now got into a contract dispute with Yahoo and is now, I believe, a free agent. I don't know where he's going to go.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, so he's now a big deal. So the two big NBA guys are Woj and Shams.
Woj and Shams.
Shams and Woj.
Sounds like a restaurant.
Yeah, so Shams. That's
Sharga? What was his name?
You and these names. Charania. Shams Charania.
Was that far off?
Yeah, Shams Charania. I'm surprised you don't know Shams.
No, I don't. I usually follow the local guys, Wojnarowski. I don't know him.
Yeah, Shams has got like 370,000 followers now. Shams. So he still says he's working for Yahoo there, but I don't think that's the case, or at least he's going to be leaving there at some point. But yeah, I mean, there's certain guys that you trust, and there's other guys that you don't. I mean, like, for example, and there's ones that are in between. Like, for example, do you believe TMZ all the time now?
Boy, I'll tell you, yeah.
I know, right?
It's hard to actually argue with them. I mean, early on, you would look at this stuff and be like, oh, come on, no way. And then a couple of days later, here we go, it was true. There's only so many times you can doubt them and them be right to where you say, TMZ's got it.
Right, like during
probably legit.
Yeah, I mean, they had one thing. I think they had a bad one a few years ago, I think with like Lil Wayne or something, where they had him like on his deathbed and he was like totally fine.
I'm sure they make mistakes.
Right, but...
they're right a hell of a lot more than they're wrong.
They are, but at this point, like, people survive that. Like, publications and reporters, if they write 98% of the time, will survive that one really bad one.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I think they tend to throw stuff out there a
lot.
You
just bring up the Beckham thing and how, you know, I saw on the show sheet that Al put together last night that the Giants were offering less than $16 million a year, and it would put him, you know, whatever, sixth or what number on the list of wide receivers and how well they're paid. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. And I thought the whole show this morning was going to be about the Giants lowballing Beckham or trying to.
Yeah.
And then you wake up this morning, and you got Ralph Acciano with the story and the other stories you're reading about how they're planning on doing them right. So it's like...
Right.
Who do you believe?
Yeah, I don't think the Giants are in the business. I mean, I know this is a Gettleman world now that the Giants and their players are living
in. He wants to win.
Right. But I don't think they're in the business of lowballing Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. He's going to scream about something. What's going on, Artie? Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hey.
You know, I can't believe I'm still watching the Mets. And this reminds me of April all over again, because yesterday was a perfect example why we cannot have this guy. He's going to make me have a heart attack if the Mets actually even have a playoff run.
Who are you talking about? This guy. When you say this guy.
One guy.
Artie. 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 When you say this guy, who are you talking about?
Mickey Callum.
Oh, all right. All right. I got you. Go ahead.
All right. So, first of all, and then the hiring a GM and then keeping the manager, they didn't learn from the Jets. It just doesn't work. But anyway, so Votto is up with the bases loaded, right? He's got one lefty in the bullpen. One. He's going to decide now, like he probably decided the day before, you know who I'm going to give a chance to save the game? I'll give Blevins a chance. And so what? I mean, he's only my only lefty. So he brings in this guy, Wall.
Yeah, from the A's, I think.
Going 90 miles an hour, and Votto's just missing it. I'm going, this freaking guy's getting a grand slam. So he gets him out. And there's another lefty on me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, two lefties in a row. And I'm going, does Mickey even know that these guys are lefties? And then he's going, in the press conference, he's going to say, well, he doesn't have good numbers. So who? Now he brings in Gesellman. I'm going, he's going to ask him to get seven outs, right? So he's pitching. The guy gives up a hit. Then he gives up like five pitches. So he can't have him close. Who closes? Blevins.
I know.
I can't.
Is there anybody that doesn't look the part more than Jerry Blevins?
I know. He looks like a marionette.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, Artie.
I forget his name. He gave up the home run Sunday. This guy, Blasher?
Yeah.
Blasher?
Bashler.
That guy has the closer makeup. He throws like he's going to throw a ball through a wall.
Right.
He looks the part, and I think as he gets better and learns to pitch, he can do it. Jerry Blevins does not look the part of the closer.
Yeah. I mean, I cannot believe that Artie is still sitting there waiting for answers on how Mickey Callaway is handling the bullpen. Well, I mean, that's a good fan there,
I do
Artie.
Think if you're a big Met fan and you're still watching this team, it's still his first year as manager. I think these are good games to see how he handles things.
Yeah, I mean, but listen, how many times have you seen Jerry Blevins up against lefties this year?
He's been terrible.
He's been horrendous.
Yeah. No, I do think it's funny, though, that he was saving Blevins as the closer.
I know, yeah.
Because if anybody doesn't look the part of closer, it's him.
Right. No, you're absolutely right.
That long looping curveball. Yeah, yeah.
I know. He's like 125 pounds soaking wet, Jerry Blevins.
You ain't kidding.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
She's probably not watching right now. She's probably had enough of us and flipped over to today's show. But I'd like to wish my wife a happy birthday today. So we've got a special day planned when I get home. I'm going to bolt out of here. I got a whole day set up of stuff.
A happy birthday to Gina.
How many Amazon trucks are coming today?
I swear.
Well, he took her to the show.
Yeah, I know. I did do that already.
That's a big portion of the gift, right?
Well, that was the main
right.
thing. It was a big show over the weekend to see that Real Housewife. It's funny, man, with these packages. So, like, with recycling day, there's only one day that the cardboard gets taken out. So I loaded up the back of the truck with cardboard. Like, the entire back of the truck, right? So I drive down to the end of the driveway.
I mean, that right there just sounds awful.
So then I unload all the cardboard. And as I'm driving back down the driveway, I look up in the rear view. What's coming down the driveway? UPS.
Oh, my God.
And I said, no.
More.
So I just said, open this is quick. I'm going to run
is
out.
Is it a daily delivery?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Oh.
The other day, there was a stack. There was
what is
a
she
stack
getting?
On
baby
the porch.
Stuff?
Yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot. I mean, it's mostly
it's
baby
not like
stuff.
She's buying tons of stuff for herself.
No, but like the other day, olive oil came in the mail. And I said, we were not getting the olive oil from the supermarket any longer, huh? It's coming in the mail. My wife's a big Amazon woman. Yeah, it didn't sound right. But yeah, so there was a stack of packages with a large one on the bottom, and then it just kept bigger. I mean, it looked like someone built a skyscraper on the lawn. Dog stuff, too, also comes from Amazon.
You buy the dog food?
Yeah, the dog food comes from either Chewy or Amazon or whatever. I mean,
what's that meme? If my wife was a Transformer, she'd be Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I mean, right. I mean, it is. I mean, I can rival anybody. I mean, I've taken pictures. I should probably tweet out a couple of these pictures of the recycling day outside. I mean, you would think that she was the Octo Mom with the stuff that we put
just
out.
Just wait
there.
Until your baby can click on that.
The babies click on Amazon.
Well,
stuff?
They find things they like when they learn how to use the internet, and then they click and
well, that's that
things
old
show
thing.
Up at your house, and here's this.
Mm. Well, that's the problem now with no Toys R Us any longer. You can't bring a kid into a Toys R Us to pick the
Target.
Toy. So, well, I guess so.
Go to Target.
But you could all, I mean, but a lot of it will be look online and boom.
Click.
One click and that's that. Yeah, but basically everything comes in the mail. Absolutely.
So she doesn't leave the house?
No, I mean, she does, but I mean... But not, I mean, I don't know. It just everything seems
I think we need
around.
More the video of you with the truck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All the way down the driveway.
Right, filled with. I had to call a friend once to help.
Oh, God.
Well, because
why?
It was probably going to take me, like, it was probably going to take me a half an hour, and I didn't want to deal with it.
Wow.
Well, because it was piled up for like 3 weeks. Because think about three weeks
do?
Of that.
You tie the cardboard or you tape it?
No, you just put it out there, man.
Free.
Just put it out there.
Doesn't it blow away?
Yeah.
No, not a lot. No, usually, I mean, there's so many boxes, I just stack them on top of each other.
You have to break them down?
No, you don't even do that either.
Really?
Hey, pay taxes, man. Just throw it out there. Just take it.
Those are definitely in the neighborhood when a nice wind kicks up. No, 100% your neighbors are going, the freaking Giannottis again.
No, it doesn't happen. I'm telling you, it doesn't. But yeah, so I had a friend, because it was 3 weeks worth of cardboard that had built up, because it was 1 week where there was a softball game or something, or I'd stayed old. I don't know what it was, but I wasn't at home to bring it out there, and I wasn't going to ask her to do it. So and then the next week was July 4th, and they didn't come. And then it was the third week.
You get a recycling pickup every week?
Once a week, yeah.
Man. Why? Every 3 weeks.
Every 3 weeks
every
you
three
get
weeks.
Recycling?
Yes, every 3 weeks.
Every two here.
Oh, my God. I would be screwed. My garage would be able to get through it. It'd be like a hoarder's garage.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. No, every week I got it.
Wow.
I mean, just stuff. Just baby cardboard boxes and all. I mean, it's a lot of stuff. Well, anyway, happy birthday.
Do you take your... do you peel the label off that says your address before you put it out?
No.
Oh, I do.
Well, why?
He's worried about people finding him. Then again, people have found him for a wedding invitation, and he went. So I don't know why you're so concerned.
Because let's say that box does blow away somewhere, or someone sees it and is like, Giannotti, now I know where they live.
Yeah, I don't know.
I always peel the label off.
Again, someone found you to invite them to their backyard wedding, and you're worried about a box running down the street?
You want to see something...
It was a good Twitter opportunity.
Yes, it was.
Of course it was. You want to see something really freaky? Speaking about like people knowing where you live and what's going on in the neighborhood... So how about, you know, my neighbor that we know, good people, where is it? Is this the picture here? So they have one of those cameras that are outside the house the whole time. And they caught, like, this guy in a full-blown mask and gloves on his hands and everything.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Stealing packages or trying to break in?
Trying to break into their house. And if you
this is next door to you,
it's right down the road. Yeah,
oh.
And
or about 2 miles away.
No.
Breaks the state.
No. It's right down the road. If you see this picture, it's freaky as hell. So look at that. I'll tweet this out if I can. You see that?
I see it.
Look at that guy. Isn't that, that scared the hell out of you?
Yeah.
Right? Where do you live?
I live in. Well, there's nothing going. I mean, that's a rare thing. But I said, why are you going to break into that house? All they have in there is fruit snacks and germs. That's what I... But they got a bunch of little kids in there. But that's so, I mean, but it's...
That's freaky.
That freaked me out.
Were they home at that point or they were not home?
I don't know. I'll see if I can get it because it's like...
See, the problem with those cameras, and I know Al has dealt with this because a fly went past his camera in his apartment, is the motion sensor will set off an alert to him that someone's breaking in or something's going on at the house.
Yeah.
In his case, he believes aliens or ghosts are running through the house.
Ghosts.
It's really a fly or a gnat.
Right, yeah.
But it can freak you out if your phone goes off at 4:30 in the morning, like there's activity in the apartment and there's no one there.
Right. It could just be a giant moth that's there, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're screwing yourself.
Or a ghost.
Yeah, so this was a bad one. I'll show Al this, and he'll be totally freaked out.
Yes.
Even though this is many miles away.
Al would move the next day.
Yeah, I mean, that is a weird one.
Did they alert the police?
Yeah, actually, I did. I had a couple of friends, and I said, listen, you know, a little more patrol around here. A little more patrol. So,
wow.
So the guy that I texted was like, I think it was you. You were awful last week. What the hell are you doing yourself? I was like, thanks for that.
That's funny.
I appreciate it. All right, Erica, what's going on?
All right, well, the Yankees gained some ground on the Red Sox last night. Of course, the Red Sox didn't play. Lance Lynn made his first Yankees start, pitched 7 1/3 scoreless innings to help the Yanks snap a 5-game slide and beat the White Sox in Chicago 7-0. Lynn gave up just 2 hits, walked 1, fan 9, and Yankees skipper Aaron Boone loved it.
He's a guy that pitches with his heater. You know, he's kind of fearless out on the mound, the ability to fill up the strike zone. But again, I think using a little more four-seamer and again, mixing in enough secondary to really keep those hitters honest.
Can you, Eddie, can you pull up the Neil Walker home run? I'm just curious, because didn't he screw up
Walker, the home run corker.
I'm just curious
if
he changed it or corrected it. I don't know if you can pull it up, Erica.
I can pull it. I got it right here. You want it?
Yeah.
Swung on, hit in the air to right center and deep. Back goes Engel on the track at the wall, and she's gone. It's a two-run home run for Neil Walker. Walker, the home run corker.
Yeah.
He drills one to deep right center, and the Yankees take a 7-0 lead.
What's a corker?
It's a... here we go.
So, right, we have...
Yeah. You can take this.
What?
No, no, no.
Everyone's afraid of me.
No, it's, no, no, no. It's nothing you said. So, no, we've gone over this. So, he's trying to rhyme corker.
Cork.
Right. With Walker.
And it doesn't rhyme.
It doesn't work, no. Right?
Walker like and corker right. Does not rhyme.
I think of a corker as somebody who puts cock in your bathroom.
That's where we go. Yeah, exactly. So you're on the same page as us. There's cork and there's...
Celebratory cork.
Right. And there's cork.
Right.
There's cork and cork.
Cork.
Isn't there an R in the word cork?
There is, yes.
Okay. Cork.
Cork.
The corker.
And cork.
Celebratory corker.
Cork.
Right.
So is it cork or is it cork?
Cork.
He does that for Higashioka too, right? The Stoka?
The
Stoka? Home run Stroka.
The home run Stroka.
That's the Stroka.
Stroka.
Got it.
Well, Stroka and Higashioka, that rhymes.
Cork.
And Walker does not rhyme.
No, I know it doesn't. That's why I was curious because he confused the call last time.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if he got it right.
Walker, the home run
cork.
Yeah, but it's selective. Like, it's selective because he does not have an accent, and then all of a sudden he's going to decide to have an accent. It's weird.
How about just Neil hits one to the moon?
Well, I mean,
now, that
how about
would be
just
pretty
home
good.
Run?
Neil's the real deal. That's all you got to do.
That's fair, too.
So Neil hits one to the moon like Neil Armstrong?
No, like Neil White.
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know if you were just saying hits one to the moon.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of Neils, though, man.
What if he just went like this, kneeled it, like nailed it?
That's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Walker, Texas Ranger. Doesn't really work, does it?
Now I'm trying to rhyme things with Walker.
Walker,
it's not
easy. Stalker. Stalker, but that doesn't work. Mm-mm. He's a... Because then all of a sudden the cops might show up.
As that one, Arias belts in a deep left field. This one is going to be gone, a home run.
I like Jacob.
Yeah.
That the phony voice in the middle stuff.
I know.
You got on him good for it. I let it go.
Yeah, why not,
I felt
though?
Bad.
You should have given him more of a critique.
That's how he sounds. That's how he does
no,
it.
No,
it
doesn't.
No, it's not.
Play the whole, Eddie, can you play the whole home run call?
As that one, Arias belts in a deep left field, this one is going to be gone, right. A home run.
All of a sudden, he's like, Arias belts one in a deep left field.
A solo homer for Luis Arias, and it cuts the Bryant lead to 2-1.
That's not him.
Now, it's like all of a sudden.
And compare that to how he wraps up the undateable.
Just recapping my date with right. Rui, and yeah. Had a really nice time. A great restaurant, Burke and Will's, and fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
Made it easy to talk to the other person, and was really fun to learn more about Rui's background, her growing up in Japan, now getting acclimated to life in New York. Not sure if we'll see each other again or not,
sure.
But certainly had an enjoyable evening.
Yeah, right. He wasn't like, and Rui is
going to be gone, a home run.
We made out after the appetizers. Baked clams and then some tongue. Like he didn't talk like that.
No, right? He didn't. Yeah. He sounded like a normal human being.
And I took her home second base. Like that's not how he sounds.
What is going to be? Gone, a home run.
We just skipped dessert and went right to the sex. I mean, like that's not, the guy doesn't talk. And I know you got to be animated, but.
Yeah, but animated is one thing. Right. Fake is not.
Did you do this to his face yesterday?
Yes,
no,
he did.
Thank
probably
God.
Worse.
Good.
Yeah, no,
might have been worse because they played it over and over again.
He's like, "Well, that's one thing that I'm working on."
So, yes,
I'm trying my best to correct those things.
He is so. The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, I know.
Nice guy. All good.
Well, I mean, yesterday, you got to record the update for CBS Sports Network. And yesterday, Jerry's finishing up the warm-up show, and it was just a flash of Jacob's face on it. So, boom! And then there and back. We just went, ah! Yes.
CBS Sports Network on the monitor had a still. Yeah, he looked frightened.
Yeah. Hello!
That's what. But you ever do a Twitter video, and the way it captures it has you looking drunk?
Because of where the still frame stops.
Yeah, I know.
That was kind of like where they were kind of setting it up, and he just looked like, oh.
I know, it was intense.
Not his fault. Yet funny.
It's gonna be. Where does that come from?
I don't know.
Like everything is fine. You know, he's just setting up the call. Here's the 2-1.
And you got to listen to the PA announcer to know what exactly happened.
That was something else.
Go on, a home run.
The home run is out of here, solo home run.
Oh, poor kid. He's trying to get his career on track.
Is he still a kid? I don't know if we could call him a kid.
He's 30.
He's not a poor kid. He's your age.
How about him? He didn't want to admit that he was living with his parents still. That was funny.
Not still, again.
Right, again.
Move back
in. All right, move back in.
Yes.
In between.
That's a big difference. Had he been there for 30 years as opposed to moving out, right, in between jobs, going back home for a little while.
It's a temporary stop. That's I'm just going to try to get out of there. Just I use it as a home base, but I'm trying to get my own place.
Right.
And it's going to be
home base
somewhere in an apartment, maybe a condo, but not a house. Down payment too much. So I'm just working on it. Checking Craigslist.
Not sure if we'll see each other again or not.
Just checking Craigslist and Zillow and Trulia. And maybe we'll find a place sometime soon. I was thinking about working with a real estate agent, but I decided against it.
All right. That's like a cross between Jacob Wilkins and Eric Spitz.
Yes, very true. All right, anything else over there?
Not sure if we'll see each other again or not.
Go on!
Do you want me just to blow through this?
Gone. Not sure if we'll see each other again.
Did he see her again?
No, he did not.
No.
She was very upset that he spilled his meat and bread upon the table.
Yeah, he admitted that he spilled meat.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what that means. Somehow I believe that Jacob could find a way to spill meat.
Right.
Like he'd cut up his
steak, put it in a cup, and knock it over. He would be the one guy who would do that. Did you do an update yet?
I didn't, but if you want me just to walk out, I mean, it's fine.
No, tell people about the Yankees.
Okay, the Yankees...
They won.
They won 7-0. The Mets won as well, 6-4, beat the Reds. Noah Syndergaard picks up his 7th win, allowed 4 runs on 6 hits over 6 1/3. Rookie Jeff McNeil is a bright spot, went 3-for-4, homered, and scored twice.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely getting a lot more confident up there, but just still trying to stick to my approach. I'm trying to get good pitches, which I have, and putting good swings on them.
McNeil has 8 hits over his last 12 at-bats. Another storyline from Citi Field last night, of course, the return of Matt Harvey, who showed remorse for some mistakes he made while playing for the Mets.
I do want everybody to know I do regret a lot of mistakes I made, and but I have I did put my heart into this organization.
Well, the Mets played a video tribute for Harvey before the game. He's not scheduled to pitch in this series. The A's took another step in a bid to secure their first playoff berth since 2014. They picked up 33-year-old starter Mike Fiers from the Tigers last night for a couple of players to be named later in cash. Oakland currently 4 games behind the NLWest leading Astros and 2.5 games behind the Mariners for second for the AL wildcard. Mixed reports on how well contract negotiations are going between the Giants and Odell Beckham Jr. Beckham seems optimistic he'll get a new deal, but his old buddy from LSU, Jarvis Landry, told Cleveland.com that he talked to Beckham and that Beckham would definitely be interested in playing for the Browns.
Yeah, when he's 39.
I mean, seriously.
And don't expect to know who the Jets' starting quarterback will be this season for quite a while. Todd Bowles says he doesn't plan on making that decision for some time. Josh McCown, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Darnold could be fighting it out for the starting job even after the Jets play their 4th preseason game.
All right, Erica.
Go
thank
on.
You.
Go now get out of here.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
Erica is back with her final update of the day. And then tomorrow's a huge day for us because we're all together for one day. Everybody is together for one day. And then we all bolt on our separate ways again.
Alaska calling.
Yeah, right.
And then Eddie's got a summer Friday.
Yeah, that is very true. Yeah, so it'll be Jerry and I most of the time, I feel like. We're going to be here most of
next
the time.
Next week, anyway.
Yeah, so it's going to be, yeah, just us next week and no Al.
And Bobby's out, Al's out, Boomer's out next week.
Really?
Yep.
Who's producing the show?
Lou Gower, Monday, Tuesday, Fliegelman, Wednesday, Thursday.
But you're not here either next week?
No, I am here.
Oh, okay.
And Lou Gower Friday.
Got it.
And Lou Gower just got back from Vegas, so good luck with that.
Right, I know.
Well, he will be a week removed.
Still, takes a long time.
Thank God you have Lapresti back.
Well, yeah. Mm. I wasn't going to say it. I was thinking it, but it,
I know you're thinking
you,
it.
You said it. But so,
this is why we're not friends anymore. Now you've hit it.
Now every time I hear Lou Gower's name, I'm thinking of
that picture
you
I showed
you yesterday. You hear about this picture?
No.
It was Marash's mom, evidently.
Yeah, right.
What?
I know.
I want to see it.
Okay.
Maybe not.
Uh-oh.
We're not allowed to show you that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're not. Right.
I've known Erica since 97. I can show the phone.
Why am I all of a sudden Teflon? Nobody wants to say anything to me. Crickets. Well, where are the crickets?
I don't know what that means.
I don't like that.
It has nothing to do with you, Erica. It has nothing to do with you.
I'm starting to feel like it has
to
do with me.
No, it has nothing to do with you.
Well, I haven't changed.
No, nor have we. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things. But yeah, so Lou Gower had posted this picture.
From Vegas, from his bachelor party.
Right.
With half the staff.
It's made the rounds. And Sean Marash, who works here.
I do.
His mom was appalled by this picture because they're friends on Facebook, Lou Gower and Marash.
Why is he friends with his mom?
I don't know. He's friends with everybody. I don't know. I guess they know each other. They got close. I don't know.
In the mix.
The family. Yeah, in the mix.
Gotta have it.
Gotta have it. Yeah, so if...
Are you pulling it up?
Yes.
I mean...
I'm working on it.
Okay.
Taking you a long time, Jerry.
Yeah, I know, because I forget where I actually... Oh, here it is. Yeah.
All right.
You tell me what's wrong with that photo.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Tommy!
You saw it already?
I did. And I
I'm over here now.
And then I was like, no, why would he post that? And then I was like...
Yeah.
In the mix, gotta have it.
Tommy!
Yeah, so he'll be he'll
he's
be
in the
with
mix
us.
There.
Yeah, he'll be with us next week.
Awesome. Why would he post that picture?
I don't know.
It popped up on my... Oh, it came up on my screen.
Yeah, I know. I'm the only one who missed it, apparently. Now I've seen it 50 times. Everybody's showing me. I go through the newsroom. They're like, hey, you see this? Damn, Tommy.
I mean, we're like fifth graders in this place.
I know. Well, basically.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. All right, Erica, you got an update for
us? I do. This report brought to you by Monmouth University. Our coast, your horizon. Navigate your future at monmouth.edu. Well, after an absolutely awful weekend in Boston, the Yankees traveled to Chicago last night, shut down the White Sox 7-0. Lance Lynn, the story from this one, made his first Yankee start, fired 7 1/3 scoreless innings of two-hit ball, retired 19 straight at one point. Here's Lynn, who says mission accomplished.
I came into this start knowing that I needed to do my job, and I needed to do it at a high level. And I came out and had a good start. You know, the offense gave me some runs. Defense did a great job, and, you know, we're here, and we won, and hopefully I can keep doing that, and we can make a run at it.
So high energy. I really love it. The Yankees scored 2 in the 4th, 2 in the 5th, 3 in the 8th, including a solo shot from Gleyber Torres and a 2-run jack from Neil Walker. CC Sabathia gets the start tonight. The Yanks begin the day 9 back of the Red Sox for first in the division. The Mets continue their series at home against the Reds. It'll be Jason Vargas facing Sal Romano. Last night, the Mets built a 5-0 lead and held on to beat the Reds in the opener. 6-4, big night for Jeff McNeil. 3-for-4 and a home run. Wilmer Flores also had 3 hits and chipped in with a couple of RBI singles to back 6 1/3 innings, a 4-run, 6-hit ball from winner Noah Syndergaard.
It was his birthday.
It was, 27.
27 years old for Wilmer Flores.
Remember when we were 27?
No.
Actually, you're older than me, so.
Thank you. I remember. I mean, Wilmer Flores was the 16-year-old shortstop that was so, I mean, it's amazing how time flies.
Yep.
It seems like yesterday we're talking about him being like the next big thing in the Mets system. And
seems like yesterday we were bulking carts in Astoria.
Yeah.
Did you do that? You
couple
didn't do
that. Decades ago.
Yeah, I did.
You
actually
did?
Yeah, I know. I pulled carts. I was Dove Kramer taught me. I used carts.
But you had digital everything still at that point.
No. I was there
the
before
board
the media touch. Yeah, the board was still
the board. But yeah, she's talking about
reel to reel.
Oh no, I wasn't there for that. No. No, but I was.
Editing, we used to put the cuts on.
That I did not do either.
Right.
No. I did the. No, what I did when I ran the board, it was carts.
But you didn't bulk erase them.
No. No, I did not. That was that thing in the newsroom.
The degausser.
Yeah, the conveyor belt in the newsroom. I had no idea what it did. But
it was
a
magnet.
Yeah, I mean, I learned, but yeah.
Conveyor belt.
That's what it looked like.
Yeah, I know
conveyor belt.
Yeah, it was, man, I tell you, what a time to be alive back then, huh? carts and
stone knives and bear skins.
Yeah, right. Of course. Yeah. All right.
Well, before the game, the Mets played a video tribute in honor of Matt Harvey's return. Here's Harvey, who says he regrets most of the drama.
People make mistakes, and I definitely made a lot of them. And I think that's kind of goes with the emotions of coming back here.
Harvey's not scheduled to pitch in this series. Meanwhile, contract talks between the Giants and Odell Beckham Jr. continue, and depending on who you'd speak to, the two sides are either making progress or not making progress. Regardless, OBJ continues to say the right things. According to reports, the Giants are currently valuing Beckham at less than the $16 million per season Sammy Watkins received in Kansas City. Time now for Moment of the Day. Moment of the Day brought to you by Resorts World Casino in Queens with over 6,000 games. This is how NYC rolls.
Moment of the Day!
Well, I, for one, don't like to make fun of any of my coworkers behind their backs, but Jacob Wilkins happens to be the gift that keeps on giving.
I like Jacob.
Yeah.
That the phony voice in the middle stuff.
I know.
You got on him good for it. I let it go.
Yeah, why not,
though? I felt
bad. You should have given him more of a critique.
That's how he sounds.
No, he doesn't. No, it's not.
Play the whole, Eddie, can you play the whole home run call?
As that one, Arias belts in a deep left field, this one is going to be gone, right. A home run.
All of a sudden, he's like, Arias belts one in
a deep left field. A solo homer for Luis Arias, and it cuts the Bryant lead to 2-1.
That's not him.
It's like all of a sudden.
And compare that to how he wraps up the undateable.
Just recapping my date with Rui, and I had a really nice time. A great restaurant, Burke and Will's, and fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
Made it easy to talk to the other person, and was really fun to learn more about Rui's background, her growing up in Japan, now getting acclimated to life in New York. Not sure if we'll see each other again or not, but certainly had an enjoyable evening.
Yeah, right. He wasn't like, and Rui is going to be...
We made out after the appetizers. Baked clams and then some tongue.
Like, he didn't talk like that.
No, he didn't. He sounded like a normal human being.
And I took her home second base.
Like, that's not how he sounds.
What is going to be? Gone, a home run. We just skipped dessert and went right to the sex.
And that's Moment of the Day.
Thanks, Erica.
Very good.
Ay, ay, ay.
Poor Jacob. Not even
it's
here.
Your fault.
It is my fault, yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.